We're going to be reconvening. I'm louder than the microphone. I'll try that.
Do you need somebody who's not a Canadian to do this?
Yeah.
Shut up and sit down.
Yeah, that's right. My whip. Which of these buttons has a little electric buzzer in your seats? Okay, so the plan for this afternoon is relatively unstructured. Our objective is to have a presentation of the communique in its current state and have a general discussion on it that will primarily be led by Todd and Ellie. I will kind of serve as the moderator in terms of kind of managing the queue of questions and other items for discussion that people are going to raise. Ellie's not here. Where'd he go? All right. Well, I'll keep talking until he pops back in. Because what we're going to do was we're going to begin. Ellie will just present the website that Thomas and Ellie put together, and then kind of go from there right into the discussion of the communique. This is awkward. I brought everyone sitting down quietly. Now we have to wait. Okay. Oh, here he goes. He can run up. So, Ali, we want to kind of just give an overview of the website that you guys put
sure.
together.
I might as well show it here.
Yeah.
Hi, I'm Ali. Thomas and I helped make the website, which is viewable here. So the purpose of the website was mainly to make the content that was developed throughout the summit more accessible to people. The wiki is a great place to develop content, but it's not the best if you're not really committed to using it. So what we've done here is basically scraped the wiki and transferred a lot of the content onto this series of web pages. The intent here is to provide all the resources that someone who is not part of the summit but wants to find out what happened available in a more intuitive way. I mean, if you come to this link at your leisure, you can explore what is on it. The key things are, I guess the communique is viewable here through an embedded link to Google Docs. Anyone should be able to view this without having to log in to Google, although I think it might not work in IE, so don't use IE. there's not that much else to say. It's not synchronized with the Ontolog wiki, so if there are changes to the material that is copied here, it will go out of sync. Aside from that, hopefully people find it useful.
Ali, could you show the various the track pages and how you've aggregated the information in a very nice fashion?
Okay. Walk it through all the pages? All right. Well, I mean, this is the main page. It just provides a brief description of what the Ontology Summit was about. On the right-hand side, we just put a lot of the links that we thought people would find useful. The first one is a collection of links for people who might want to be covering the summit. The intended audience is non-ontologists. It might be a bit fluffy. The content might be a bit fluffy for ontologists, but hopefully it's more accessible. The intent was to try to write for a 12-year-old. I don't think I succeeded, but it's definitely not for... You don't need to be an expert in ontology to follow what's going on here. The communique page you've seen already. And then the resources page is really where all the meat is in terms of what was developed throughout the summit. There is a link to the tracks, the recommended readings that was compiled by Amanda, all the teleconferences, and then these two links on the bottom go to the actual Ontolog forum hosted or Ontolog hosted material.
Ali, is there a link to the agenda so people can understand, looking at the page, you know, where we are now and they could jump in?
The agenda for the symposium? Yes. On the first page, I believe, there is a link to the symposium. If you click on this symposium right here, you have the agenda for the 2 days. And it also links back to the wiki if you need to figure out how to connect remotely. And it contains all the slides. It was just too much work to scrape the rest of that content.
Especially when they're not there yet.
Especially when they weren't there when we made this. The other thing that I think Todd found useful is for each of the track pages, we've aggregated the most pertinent information. So the mission statement, followed by links to all the teleconferences, followed by the synthesis. Again, we did not have the time or desire to scrape the community's page, so that goes back to the wiki. And of course, the list of all the people and organizations that were involved in making the summit possible are listed here as well. Does that cover everything? Yeah. Okay, well, that's the website. Thanks. And a big hand to Thomas as well. He helped a lot with scraping.
Don't go away. So if we go switch the communique page, we're going to go to the Google Docs version. So first, I want to thank Ali for helping me greatly with this. He did a lot of the digging through a lot of the material to get this in a form that was going to be fairly usable. Now, I have to point out that the version you're seeing here, well, we didn't meet our sunrise deadline, unless we want to change the date line. But it is also, is this one working? Testing? Is it coming across? Is it coming across, Peter? Can you hear it? It is? OK. For this room, I think I'll cover, I'm loud enough, but the microphone is for the people online. So this version is different than what you had reviewed. And the biggest difference is it's been rearranged and hopefully a better organization. Some material has been deleted. We were trying to conform to as many of the requests as possible. And one of them, of course, was shortness and brevity. Got a little shorter. But because this is such a big scope, and we ran out of time, it may not meet everyone's perfection. And of course, as I told some of the people, I use the Duke Ellington method of scheduling, which is don't give me time, just give me a deadline. And of course, you get what you have at that time. So what we're going to do here, the plan is to go through this. There are, I should point out, some outstanding change requests or comments that we could not resolve, and we wanted to have a discussion with the group here today to come to some consensus as to what the change should be, if any. And I think I can keep those straight. I have my little script here. So what we're going to do is just going to go through this. And if there's an issue that comes up that you want to raise, Fabian will enforce the rule with his big stick back there. Fabian? Ah. And if I remember the rule properly, if someone wants to change the communique at this point, you have to get a couple of other people. Is it two others? Oh, three others, and then you beat us up in the parking lot. Oh, no. Oh, two. Three in all to agree to that change. And then we'll negotiate for fee. No. So the big change is we've eliminated much of the prefatory material. Yes, Gary?
Can I just ask a large question? It was something, sir. I think, that Peter put on yesterday, saying that it had gotten pretty long. Are we comfortable with the approximate length of this?
The approximate length now is down to eight pages or nine pages?
Eight and a half.
Eight and a half. Down from 11.
Yeah, no, I think the implicit point is that often when we're editing something, we are adding things and making it longer. That could be part of this editing process.
Peter?
Yeah, I was the first to post a list of number of pages over the years. I didn't mean that you should cut back as much as I really was serious about sort of making the first two pages cover everything, because maybe 60-70% of the people will just read the first two pages. I mean, I get like NSF reports coming through that I read the executive summary and tell myself I will read the rest, and I never manage to do that.
No, that was a valid comment. Things can get long-winded and you can just lose your audience, and we certainly don't want to do that. So I hope we have at least met that initial requirement that the first two pages will convey enough information so people have at least a general idea of what went on and the value in reading more of it if they want to. And of course, the point here is that if they really want to get the knowledge that was gained by this summit, that they should go to the individual track pages. And now that we have this wonderfully seductive website, that should facilitate that.
Can you move your microphone just a little higher? It's a request to have more volume.
More volume? Okay. Oh. I can turn up the gain as soon as I find the gain. Maybe. Or not. So I'll try moving closer. I can go down 20 dB.
Yeah, just move it a little closer.
Is that coming across better or worse or? No? How about? Down here? Okay. I'll hold it. How about now? No, make breath noise. Okay. So the plan right now is to go through this top to bottom, and we'll not scroll too quickly so people have a chance to read it if you're not reading it on your screen already. And as I pointed out, there are some issues that we did not resolve, and I think I remember which ones they are, and a couple of them come from Ravi, and there might be one from Leo hanging around. And I think we resolved the major ones from Nicola. Now, the reason we did not resolve these is because we felt more discussion was needed and or the point being made was unclear to us at the time. So, we'll just go.
All
right. Is that a question, Leo?
No, I'm looking at my
glasses. The stars, reading the stars? So, as I said, the prefatory material had been removed and we changed it to a short summary of the focus and scope of this event. And we did point out that if you wanted more information, go to the web. The links for most of the references that were questioned have been put in, I believe. I think we still may be missing one for the OMG proposal.
No, I put that in.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Good man. I thought I put it in too, but I got lost or something. So we have this focus and description. This was just copied off the summit webpage directly. Then we go down to the summary. And here I think we resolved any of the outstanding issues that were present at the time previously.
So there's still one hanging comment.
Oh,
here.
Yes. One of the issues...
Sorry, we seem to have lost the chat, so if people are making comments on that, we can't see right now.
No, it just went to sleep.
Someone closed down the web page.
Oh, it's there. It's just minimized.
Oh, let me find it. Get the little mouse to... Okay, chat's up. Okay, I just love that thing. Never mind. Yes, one of the issues about this summary is that, was it this one or the next one where you have the bulletized items? People wanted explanations put next to these. And at this point, was it this one, Ali?
Well, there's the one issue with this, and then there are a number of issues with this other one.
Okay, well, I do recall that in these bulletized lists, people wanted explanations or additional explanations as to what this might be interpreted to mean. And we did not put those in, mostly in the instance of brevity. The explanations are further on in the document. Now, the other one that was up there about the constituent parts, what was that one?
Again, explanation.
Yeah, why is important. And, of course, that could be applied to any and all of those. So, is there any consensus from this group as to whether we should extend that and put in these explanations or effectively leave it to the reader to figure out that they can get answers by reading the rest of the document? Steve?
Maybe if they are explained later in the document, why don't we just put a link to where it's explained later in the document?
Not in so many. Not
again, that, it doesn't occur necessarily in any particular sentence
right.
or paragraph.
I will retract my suggestion.
But be aware that many things that I think are patently obvious are usually not. So it may help. But I don't have a good solution to this. If we could link to a specific paragraph, it might be easy, but I don't know that we can.
Peter?
I think it read quite well. So whoever brought up that request may be just. Could justify why they're looking for explanation.
That was Nicola.
Is he online? I don't see him on the chat.
Yeah, I don't see him.
That was Leo.
Oh, okay. Well, let's go back up for the moment. So at this point, since Nicole is not here to answer our questions, we will just not respond to that. We'll just reject it. Again, I'm sort of following the open group method of their process for reviewing documents. You have to put in a change request. The change request gets reviewed and get accepted or rejected, and we'll just reject that one.
So I'm just going to resolve it?
Yes. Resolve is we don't accept it, or it doesn't fit our paradigm for brevity.
All right.
Okay. That too. So the next one, which one was this about?
This is a new one. It came today.
Obviously we rejected. The deadline was Tuesday night, midnight, Eastern time.
All right.
I think I even put in the time zone.
That's
but
pretty easy.
Simon, is it yours?
Yes.
It both?
Why, it went.
Oh, where'd it go? Oh, okay.
I can bring it back. If
no, no, it's no. Okay. Unless Simon wants to raise some point about it.
The Cambrian explosion comment.
Microphone. Quick.
Main problem that I had with the that particular analogy is the only reason that it is apt is that neither was really an explosion, and both were overhypings of trends that if people know enough to recognize what the Cambrian explosion is and what current general thinking is, that their first reaction will be that it's an exaggeration. And it, since the overall document is long and it did not seem to add that much that was not possibly confusing, it could basically be it could be removed as long as the anaphora in the following sentence was just replaced by replaced by whatever the direct thing that is growing is. It's just
okay. Well. We had several comments going back and forth about this. I think it's a wonderful allusion or metaphor. And the notion of explosion has a temporal component to it. And depending on your time scale, an explosion can be very short or very long. Subsequently, I don't like that argument that you presented. So,
just to say from a paleontological point of view, there was not a great change in the in the diversity of species or diversity of phylums at that time, but under Stephen Gould's popularization, which was not generally the mainstream view within paleontology, because he wrote so well, it gained rather more prominence than it actually deserved, much like his theory of punctuated equilibrium was his theory put for other reasons. And
at the risk of having a paleontology summit, though,
yes, we'll move on.
Yeah, but we can move on.
Your point is taken,
from there.
Simon. But we are using natural language, and if Stephen did such a good job in creating this illusion, we're going to continue it. Oh, that's what.
Okay.
Microphone?
Oh. No, I was looking for mics. Okay. Saying that I
okay,
can.
So we have a second.
I would like to support the change. Okay. Remove Cambrian example.
Steve?
I know you guys saw my remarks way back when against the Cambrian explosion. While I think it's clever, I think it's going to alienate the reader.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I want to support.
Bobby?
Peter? Sorry. So Lynn first, Peter, and Fabian.
I just want to support it.
Oh.
So I don't know whether we have a number of.
It's a wonderful metaphor, like you said, but it doesn't really bring that much to the argument. And I think the sentence by itself, like, you know, if you say the information age has resulted in the production of unprecedented amounts of data and information, nobody disputes that. So it's there already. The fact is there. You don't need the Cambrian explosion to emphasize the point.
Okay.
So I just would propose to remove only the first part of the sentence.
Yeah. Right.
Peter?
So is there a quorum for three?
The three is only to bring up for discussion.
It's not three rejects the
but I have a point. I was among one of those who made the comment. I started out feeling about the same, slightly uncomfortable, but one, I think it's just the style that the lead editors voice in there, and I concluded that I should support it because the lead editors liked it. So I'm in support of keeping it in.
Yeah, I would be on the side of taking it out, because the big thing about the Cambrian explosion, it really wasn't an explosion. It was a transition period from a silica-based life form, which we still have part of us in us, into a carbon-based life form. And that was a very slow process, and the diversity at that point was really very, very minimal. And it was only later, like, couple hundred million years later, after Pangaea had formed, that you had much beyond a very minor diversity. So I would suggest that, for the same reasons, that it be removed. And
Fabian, if you could get a microphone, please. Yeah, just. I think people, the editors have recognized an edit is needed there. So okay. I don't know how you want to handle it. You don't just want to cut off that.
I'll just leave this comment in, and then we'll okay. Make the changes.
Okay. Yeah. So let's move on to the bullet points, which were raised by Leo.
I don't think that.
Well, actually, sorry. There's one hanging one in this paragraph here where there was an allusion to. So this sentence here, accompanying or causing this abundance of data information are big systems that create or attempt to handle it and provide something more. Initially, this more was knowledge, provide knowledge. And Nicola brought a point that perhaps we're trying to define knowledge. And Leo responded that one doesn't need to. I don't feel strongly either way. I don't know if we should open this to the floor, but.
You'll note, Leo, that we.
Well, we are opening it to the floor, I guess. Leo.
Yeah, so I didn't really have an objection to it because we have to give up on precision here because this is a summary document. We could get into detail that's unnecessary, but it did link these notions, which I think are still important.
Right.
So is there any strong consensus from the group as to whether we should put back that reference to notion of knowledge? Specifically, is trying to describe some contextual information that can be derived.
Right.
Any strong feelings one way or another? Peter?
I actually would propose, if there's a neither nor situation, that the lead editors make the call.
Okay. We're trying to weasel out of it. Okay. Well, we'll talk about it later. Let me make a note here. Paragraph.
Oh. All right, then we come to the bullet points here. The comment is viewable right here on the right side in yellow. So what's missing here is that ontologies provide real-world semantic representation, 2/4, the systems, and so really go beyond the usual conceptual models / conceptual schemas that are often used and typically only provide very local semantics. So as Todd pointed out earlier, that's more of an explanation of what these points are than
a specific bullet point.
This section was supposed to be a summary, so we wanted to keep it short and sweet. Leo?
Yeah, so the only the reason I put that in was because somebody reads this, they may think, well, my data models can do this, or my conceptual models can do this.
Is what now? I have.
And so, in other words, these points, they don't necessarily suggest that the ontologies alone can do these. I'm just thinking when they read something like this, they'll think that, well, you know, my data models are fine because we do that.
This is Terry. May I make a suggestion? Put the bottom bullet first, because it kind of covers that whole thing that Leo was talking about.
Move this above?
Yeah. Would that resolve it, Leo?
I would like to sort of second Leo's observation. That is, what Leo says over there makes it compelling, whereas standing by itself, it doesn't seem very compelling. It says, it's not clear to me why ontology, if I don't even know what it is going to do all this wonderful stuff for me. But some phrasing of Leo's sentence there at least gives me an idea of why, of what ontology is going to do for me. So I sort of like the use of the ideas that he puts over there.
So, so one maybe compromise is to have that expression at the beginning. Depending on the intended use, ontologies can provide real world, blah blah blah, or something like that, and then have the bullets underneath that.
Yeah, I think it makes sense to preface the bullets with and emphasize the distinction between a data model, a conceptual model, and an ontology. All right. I'll add this for later because I'm not going to do it now.
I'm making notes, Ali. Okay. Otherwise, I'll forget.
But we need another.
No, we are.
No? Okay.
Editorial discretion.
Well, you have the three. These two agreed with you, so that makes three. Okay.
Well, that was just to bring something up for discussion, isn't that correct?
Right. Yeah, no. Yeah, it's not a vote. Good.
Okay.
Okay, so moving on to the last paragraph of the summary.
Sorry, there was all within that comment, there was another comment about a specific bullet.
And is that this one also?
Yes.
Troublemaker.
Yeah, so that's just a kind of an explanation why you can reduce development operational costs.
Right. But as I said, we're trying to get this short, so the explanation is later on.
Okay.
Perfect. All right.
So finally, we get to the introduction. I think we're making pretty good time. We've only been out at what, half an hour? But again, we're focusing on any of the outstanding issues, unless others bring some up along the way.
We're not quite at the introduction. there was an issue with this paragraph here by Leo again. The comment is here. I'm not going to read it out loud. Or I can read it out loud, all right. Big systems require much more heterogeneous data and services, and so the semantics is complex. Disparate, requiring integration and mapping. Simple small systems can rely on implicit semantics, compacts, contracts, APIs, ordinary syntactic standards, data dictionaries, or equivalents, head nodding among human developers and users, but big systems cannot. The semantics must be increasingly be explicit, machine interpretable, because there are multiple communities, users, developers, and humans in the loop paradigms that work for simple systems, breakdown slash fail.
Now, before we go on, Leo.
I'm
pretty sure I took some parts of this, and they appear other places in the document. Now, right now, I don't have a traceability matrix, so I can't tell you exactly where. But you may recognize them when we come across them.
Yeah, as long as the point's made, I mean, because a lot of people will think, well, you just create a syntactic standard and everyone follows it. You know, this is what person means. But it really breaks down when you have multiple communities, complex systems of systems.
Well, if I could ask you to keep that comment in mind to see if we have not addressed it later on. Because I believe this one, in particular in terms of heterogeneity and the scale, shows up in another comment that Nicola made about human in the loop. And that's where I may have...
This is actually what I've highlighted right now is where that human in the loop originally appeared.
Oh, okay.
I removed that phrase and made the focus more on manual modifications to sort of capture what Leo said in that comment. I don't know if this addresses the concerns that initially existed.
I don't know what you added. You may have it elsewhere, so...
I believe, I think I put it in there.
So what I'd suggest is, when you go through this again and you see that you don't have it, maybe you decide then.
Well, no, that's what I'm asking you to do. We're going through it now, so if you fail to see any semblance of it there, please let us know. And
yeah,
we'll fix it.
Leo, if you see what's in blue, does that capture the essence of your point?
More than that, though.
I thought you said later on.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sorry, I don't remember. I did this yesterday.
I'll have to review my comment and then the changes.
Just a quick logistical question. Peter, is this being broadcast on VNC? This screen right now?
Yes.
Yes? Okay, great.
But I couldn't get the comment column.
To show as well.
But I'm showing where you're talking about.
Okay, so if people are following on chat, if you want to follow independently, you can go to the Google Doc. There's this thing on the top right which says Other Viewers. If you click that, find the user named Ontology Summit, click on the color beside it, and it'll show you where the cursor is, and you can follow what's going on that way. Although it doesn't seem... Todd, can you close your instance of the... that's confusing the cursor.
Really? Find it. Trying to find the right screen. I just signed out.
Great, thanks.
Okay. Moving on to the introduction then. And I think we resolved any issues that were placed against this.
Yes.
Hearing no other additional issues, we'll continue on.
Well, I think we can assume that everyone's read the communique draft so far, so we probably could just move through to the points that are up for debate. And if anyone feels a point has been missed, then they can raise it and we can see whether or not it's an issue.
We'll move on to the big systems engineering section.
So I see Gary has posted a comment on the chat about whether we use references to support our arguments.
In general, no, Gary.
I don't think in the past the communique has included references in the document.
But you have had links to things that are useful.
Yes. So wherever a link to something would be useful, feel free to add a comment or insert the link.
Yeah, at this point, I want to thank our track chairs for providing some very nice text that we edited, but very useful. So hearing no issues about the big systems engineering, we're on to big data and applications section.
Well, I mean, Michael Ushwald had, this is, again, a general comment about the last paragraph of...
having a specific
systems
example.
Engineering, yeah, he wanted a specific example. I don't think we included a commercial example here.
Right, and I looked at that comment and I couldn't see a way to work it in nicely. I mean, we just tack on another sentence and say, look at Siri, for instance. I don't know if that'll get us in trouble with Apple. But.
All right, then I'm going to mark this as resolved.
And again, I guess I could say to Michael, you could look at the particular track where they have a large number of examples. And Steve, do you have any feeling about that comment one way or another? He was asking for a specific example of a big system that is using ontologies.
Who asked for that?
Michael Oshult.
I'll have to think about it, because some people would call certain things ontologies and others wouldn't call those ontologies. So any given example I might offer, some might not think that's an ontology. So.
Well, we are sort of using the rule of fuzziness and multiple interpretations here. Mm-hmm. You know, just in the beginning of the whole summit, we said big systems was intentionally vague, mm-hmm. so the scope could be large enough, because we believe that these capabilities can be applied to all of those things and everything else under the sun. Mm-hmm.
So give me a few minutes, I'll come back to, let me review my candidates here.
All right, then let's...
So I'll put that back in.
Second?
I'll put that comment back in. So can you use the microphone so people...
Yeah, Fabian, yeah, if you grab the mic.
What's about SNOMED as application? I mean, that should qualify as ontology in any case. It's based on a description logic, so.
But it's an ontology, but not an application.
Well, no, but applications. I mean, building applications that use SNOMED, for example, or that would be big systems.
Fabian, the comment was to provide a specific example of an application, a big system that is using ontologies.
Yep. I missed the comment just now. What's wrong with Siri as an example?
Oh, no, no. That's not, I think that was the issue. The issue is whether we should put one in. I put an example in. And then the question is how to fit it in there so it reads nicely.
Trying to fetch an example.
You know what? Maybe it'd be better, rather than naming one, which has all kinds of implications in people's minds, we could refer people to the track pages where we have nine of them in the track four.
Good idea.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
I love it. Will do.
All right, next point.
So we're done there?
I'm not going to add the exact sentence right now, but I made a note to add it. Yeah.
So we're on to big data and applications?
Yes.
And the second paragraph, whose comment is that?
Nicola from today at noon during lunch.
Well, I don't have a problem with it. Of course,
I think it's dense. That's probably his.
Yeah, I realize that.
I mean, this is like two independent sentences that were combined during the editing process. I don't think this is something for the general discussion. I mean, this is just a new comment that appeared. It's a smaller...
English is so wonderful. You can do whatever you like, almost. All right. We'll try and resolve it. I don't have a good solution right now. We'll go back up. Yeah. So this is the vision stuff that was put back in?
Yes. So there were comments in the email that it would be useful to include what the future of big data would hold. So this paragraph here is a combination of actually slide 6 of Wendy's presentation tomorrow. And one example of a possible scenario in the future that would sort of bring together all the different technologies which make a big system, and sort of it motivates how an ontology fits in. I don't know if people have actually read this scenario carefully. It would probably benefit from people's feedback if anything's been missed. Probably not now, but offline, if you have a chance, go back and read this paragraph a bit more closely. Peter?
Did you invent the scenario, or did it come from...
I created the scenario.
Elliot Siegel actually made a similar presentation. Yeah. On
I've seen
track
this other
last
places
year.
Too.
Okay.
So I thought that's where it came from.
The Watson thing, I was talking about Watson for medical thing, and there's a write-up on that last year in India.
Okay.
But I think this is general enough. We won't get into IP issues.
I mean, I independently used this for something else 6 months ago, but.
But if you want to link to a reference, I mean, there's a whole presentation around this.
Which reference, Peter? Which reference?
Elliot Siegel's. Elliot Siegel's Ontology Summit 2011 presentation. Siegel, maybe. Maybe E-L, one L, E-L-I-O-T.
I'm so glad Ali's typing now. I really am a bad typer.
No, I mean, it's, you can't search
okay.
when you spell wrong.
I would find it.
Okay. Okay. Ravi?
Semantic search.
I'm actually familiar with some applications that actually implement the scenario you have painted in this sentence. So it's a real situation. And they bring out the clinical options for doctors to try in near real time.
So do you have a reference for that, Ravi?
Would you like us to include a reference? Or?
Not often, but I can search and send you, but not in the time frame of tomorrow morning.
Okay.
But it is real. I mean, there are medical logistics and medical treatment clinical packages that do exactly, almost exactly what you described.
Okay.
But it needs to be ontology driven, though.
No, I'm not sure if it is ontological, but it is semantically triggered, like by the terms that the medical clinical community or operative community triages on. Their triages are based on these.
Latent semantic analysis and some things.
You still need a reference, I guess. Yeah. It'd be nice, but I don't know in the time frame.
Well, the time frame is tonight.
Yes.
Okay. If I find out,
yeah. Siegel, Watson example should suffice.
That's sufficient. Yeah.
Generate the URL now and have it automatically transfer once you find it.
Make a URI, yes.
Okay. Moving on then. So here then we want to distinguish why some of the current methods aren't sufficient, reference the statistical analysis capabilities and the fact that you now have to couple that with some more conceptual frameworks in order to get more value out of your data. And I think there had been issues about the reference, the notion of theory, and I think we've addressed those.
We removed the word theory.
We did?
Oh, no, we didn't.
We put it in.
Sorry?
Oh, framework. Oh, there it is. We tried to.
Conceptual framework or theory.
Or theory. Of course, we mean they're the equivalent, but we won't say that. Okay. And speak now or moving on. Time's up. Okay, then some more examples from biomedics and the future ICT project. And now we're on to the section on federation, integration, and interoperability. And this is a combination of a couple of sections in the earlier versions that you saw. Some comments were that they felt the various sections as distinct were confusing to people. And certainly all of those three are related. Corey? I guess there are no outstanding issues on this one?
No.
Now, one change, and back to you, Ali. This paragraph here starts off with ontological analysis is a fundamental aspect of it. We may need to modify that a bit back to what you originally had, because that was a confusion on my part. Originally, Ali had written semantic analysis. And for some reason, the particular time of day when I read that, it was confusing to me. But after hearing Corey talk this morning, perfectly clear, perfectly clear. So we may modify that back to include semantic analysis. Well, I don't know about that. What are we conveying? That's what I'm concerned about. And I suspect here the point really is not necessarily ontological analysis with regard to federation, but the semantic analysis just to bridge those gaps because people have already made their commitments. Have a nice day. So you were right, Ali. Sorry. Okay, and then here are some references to the current work that's going on and
This is wrong. It's management group.
We do not have the link for the proposal yet.
It is.
Well, where?
This.
Is that? No, that's not the one. That's something else. Is it?
Is this not?
RFP.
That's it? Oh, okay. Okay. Good.
I just send you the link on the chat when you look back.
Okay. Am I?
Oh, thank you, Peter. Oh, Ali, one note on that issue about changing ontological to semantic. A short explanation of what we meant by, or what is meant by, semantic analysis in this context would help.
Yeah, I was thinking like a parenthetical.
Yeah, something.
The terms and concepts that you use in the domain, or something.
Well, something about what we mean by semantic analysis, understanding the meaning of the various systems in.
Yeah, because ontological analysis is one of Nicola's favorite phrases. He would maybe want to keep ontological analysis in that sense, but.
Well, for this context, when we're talking about Federation specifically, I don't think you're going to do ontological analysis, because these things already exist, and you just have to be able to deal with them as they are, as opposed to morphing them into something else.
You may do ontological analysis, but you're going to be analyzing the semantics
first,
one way or the other.
Leo.
Yeah, so semantic analysis here precedes ontological analysis. You have to make that decision. So semantic analysis is more accurate because you want to provide a consistent interpretation of the natural language terms. Yes. And then, you know, once you try to define an ontology, then you're going to logically or ontologically, if you will, analyze the domains.
Okay, so we'll make those changes.
So you might want to put something like initially semantic analysis, perhaps followed by ontological analysis, or something like that. Weasel words.
Or shorten it, just forget about the other part. Okay.
Sorry?
That's my typo error. I'll write it here.
Thanks.
Actually, Todd, if I could just dwell a little briefly on this semantic analysis issue again. So from a logical perspective,
yeah, others?
Yes. Would you say that semantic analysis would be like a logical analysis in terms of constructing, you know, logical models and determining whether that's not a semantic, like determining consistency and things like that?
In this specific context of federation, integration of existing systems, based on what Corey has told us and what I know, you have different systems, they have different data models, for instance, they're using different terms. What do they really mean? And that's what you have to resolve. So you get into the meanings of what those terms are supposed to be in the different systems. Okay. That's.
And Amanda will speak more, I guess, but it's called harmonized vocabularies among different communities of practice.
No, not necessarily. You may just want to be able to bridge the different data models from one relational database to another relational database. How you represent that bridge is something else, and that's where you get into the harmonization of the terminologies.
No, vocabularies, terms.
I'm sorry.
All right, that's fine.
Yeah, sure. Okay.
Maybe we should take out the fancy words altogether.
Fancy words.
Ontological, semantic.
No, similitude. That we got the fancy words.
No, it's fine to keep that. I just wanted just a little small clarification
for
future reference.
It's fine if we change it back to semantic analysis and give a short parenthetical explanation.
Yeah,
what I meant
with
by that.
Parenthetical, yeah. Be fine.
Well, we're halfway through. I thought we had some time.
Yes. Okay. So we're going to move on to the ontology and quality section. Now. I did sort of try and prod Amanda and Mike Bennett to give us a little more here, since this is kind of short. And sort of hacked together. Well, we're open to better solutions. Now, there was also a change I made. Is it in here? Is it? had to do with requirements. Oh, here it is. There's another change I made today having to do with the requirements, and it was brought up earlier that in terms of trying to understand the requirements for ontologies, however they're represented, you have to look beyond the particular scope of, or in larger scope of what you're trying to consider the ontology for. And this is one of the points Nicola was making earlier in his explanation or example of the airplane and the pilots. If you're going to build a plane, people are going to be using that plane. You really have to understand how the people may use that plane and necessarily then have some conceptualization of what those uses are in order to build a plane that's going to meet their needs. So in that one sentence, I'm trying to say that in order to understand the requirements for your ontology, you have to look beyond the thing for which you expect that ontology to be used very specifically. What is the environment in which your system is going to exist? Hans? Hans, could you take a microphone, please?
People online can't hear me. But along those same lines, one of the challenges that you're going to have from a business model perspective is to what degree or what degrees of freedom or differentiation will you allow participants in that domain? In other words, what part of the ontology has to be specified centrally or industry-wide, and what parts can be left, for example, for different airlines to differentiate their services?
Yeah, the whole area of the business model aspects we don't address very well. And, you know, for instance, if we have an upper ontology, UFO, BFO, whatever, everyone can use that. Then if you start adding middle layers to that, whether I want an ontology for bioinformatics or networks or whatever, at what level are you going to start providing the businesses with the ability to have some competitive advantage? Right. So all of the things have to get built. And if you're building something for network monitoring, you're going to probably specialize that to what you need, you know, whether Cisco's doing it or whoever is building routers or switches. But then, since that's proprietary to them, they're not going to let that out. So at what point can you differentiate between what's common that's going to allow things to be plug and play and provide an ability for competitive advantage? Otherwise, no one's going to pay for this stuff and we're going to be stuck. Or people are just going to be doing things so silo, so isolated from each other, we're not going to get any value for what we're suggesting here. Leo?
Yeah, I mean, I agree. So one of the issues is that, for example, when you develop an ontology, let's say, to keep it simple, it's a manufacturing, let's say, equipment manufacturing or, you know, metal machinery manufacturing ontology. Well, you may have different users, right? You may have buyers who are technical and buyers who are not. The technical buyers may be able to specify parts you'd find in a catalog, for example, and describe it like 85-degree diamond blade for this cutting blade in my bore or whatever. Whereas somebody else who's a non-technical buyer would describe their environment. I have this kind of machine, and I do this kind of milling, what do I need, right? So it's, again, it's a, when you're developing an ontology, you may have to put more than one perspective in depending upon the users of that eventual, it's the same use case, just different users.
Well, that gets to the scope issue that I tried to put in here in terms of looking larger, looking at the larger environment. But Hans was specifically referring to the business model that would support the development of these things. And we have not addressed that as a community very well. Gary?
Yes, Gary Berkeros. As I read this section, it seems to start out with the idea of discussing the quality of ontologies, needing good quality ontologies. It seems to end up with discussing good quality systems that are engineered. We have, at the end of this document, we have a discussion of quality ontologies. So I'm trying to understand whether this section is a mix of that, or is it directed at quality systems?
Well,
Mike, you want to?
Yes. So our original summary you'll find on our synthesis page starts in that second half of what you're looking at. So you've accurately described two separate exercises that are not in the necessarily in the order we put them. I think I should have spent more time looking at this in the actual communique. We put probably quite too much in our synthesis to really boil it down, and neither of us have really had the chance to try and reduce it. But I think the thing that we mentioned earlier about how sometimes if you use the word quality without qualifying it, people assume that it only means how good is this thing? You know, how good does this thing taste? How well made is it? Rather than the industrial definition of quality, which is how does it meet its requirements? Both of those things are relevant, and I think we should try and tease out that difference in here in some way, and particularly then how you can bring them together by the key thing of requirements. And what I stood up to answer just now was all of these things we're talking about now are all about requirements, and rather than pontificating about what requirements should be or how they should be, the key point that we want to put out is that it all comes back to requirements. What are the different things you can say about an ontology so that you can say them about this ontology in this application, particularly given, which isn't, again, in this edited out version of the summary, the two very different ways in which ontologies are used. One, to drive the engineering of everything else, and two, as an artifact within an application. And those are both valid use cases, and they both bring with them very different requirements, and therefore very different quality assurance processes would be required to ensure they meet those requirements. So that's the kind of structure. I'm trying to think how we can get that kind of structure into this brevity, because our summary with all that was obviously too long, which I accept.
Yeah. And we can expect an answer when?
Well, would it help for me to sit in a corner and just try and write something with Amanda and put it up there? Can we put it straight in there, or should we put it in a separate document and send it along?
Well, you pointed out that the second half of this was really...
The first half.
Yeah. And if you just remove the first part and maybe you reuse it later on, or that, because I think the critical point is the quality engineering.
Absolutely. Particularly in big systems context. That's proved to be more critical than a lot of what the research out there shows. Thank you very much.
Excellent.
So you guys can edit directly.
Not too much, though.
Yeah, and just this section.
Behave yourselves, please. We know where to find you. Okay. So we're going to get something to improve that section. Then, if nothing more on that section. Excellent. We'll move on to the recommendation section. How's our time, Michael?
Oh, we're doing really well, because we have a break at 3:15, 3:45, and then we have another hour of discussion after that. So,
okay. Now, this section may cause more heartache, but I don't remember that we got too many comments on this particular list.
I think people stopped reading.
Yes, I did know the density of comments did decrease as you move further down the document, put them to sleep or something.
How do people feel about this now?
Can you scroll down a little further so they can see the full bulletized list, or is that it? Oh, okay, that's it, sorry. Take a microphone, please. No, microphone, so the people online can hear you.
One question I had about these recommendations is, who are they to? Who's the audience?
Well, I thought that's specified in the description, where we identify stakeholders as being part of this.
So it's a mix of different people, ontologists, engineers.
And stakeholders. Let me see, is that? Yeah. Okay, I'm sorry, the first sentence of the summary. The principal goal of the summit was to bring together and foster collaboration between the ontology community, systems and engineering community, and stakeholders in big systems. I don't like that. Or do we need to reiterate it here?
To me, it's not actionable. Okay. It's not clear who's supposed to do what with these recommendations.
So you need different sets of recommendations.
Well, I guess that would depend on who you are, right?
I mean, if just statements that we'd like, if things were wonderful, this is what would happen, okay? Great, okay, let's move on.
Well, actually, in engineering practice, you actually say the ontology community needs to help develop ontology patterns. Systems engineering should include ontological analysis. It's at least those two points implicitly address the community
Right.
Right. So I suppose if, you know, we were a little more explicit in the other points as to who it's being directed to, would that be?
I mean, your observation resonates with me. Throughout the summit, there didn't seem to be that much actionable recommendations generated. A lot of it was still at a very high level of what needs to be done.
Just as an example,
So Hans just asked whether NCOSI would be willing to create it.
I'm not saying that's...
Okay. I just wanted to repeat in the microphone what you said. Okay.
Oh, we have to ask Henson for a response.
So you want to see that kind, that level of action?
Not
action.
Give quite a response to that, but go back to, I think, what Hans was trying to get at is, while let's say on the modeling, I agree with all of that stuff. If I see somebody else coming in, it's not clear to me that they would understand why one should do this. And I think you could say something quite simply about that, let's say the ontological analysis will enable better modeling, for example.
So there are explanations below that sort of provide depth and background to each of the bullet points. Initially, we had just this, but it was thought that the communique would be better if we firstly distilled all the key points and then provide further background below.
Right. So have summary of
recommendations. Maybe
so this is why it's the recommendation summary, and then below for each of the different sections, there's more text which sort of explains how and why.
Okay, so now, let's see, we had a bunch of hands just shot up at that point.
Just a second, before we go on, back to the point about the stakeholders and having them be able to recognize what they should do. I don't have a good solution. We're open to one. We would hope that the people that are reading it from their perspective would say, oh, yes, you know, this is what this means. Yeah, I could probably do something about that. So again, we're expecting the reader to do something rather than just, you know, drag him by the nose. But if you have a good solution, we can drag him by the nose.
Okay, so we had we have Steve, we have Corey. Sorry, I forgot your name.
Pavitra,
and then Ravi.
Sort of building on what Hans said, and sort of also observing something that fell out from an earlier version of the draft. Some of these seem to be observations rather than recommendations, which I think speaks to the non-actionable nature of them. And then some of the other things that used to be in there, such as that were extracted from the needs things, which were needs, actionable needs, have disappeared.
But aren't those needs then recommendations?
Well, they should be, but they disappeared.
Can you identify?
Can
you identify the ones that you do not think are actionable?
The call, that I do not think are actionable?
Yes. That was the first comment you made,
correct? Yeah, models should have explicit semantics. Okay. Sure, I agree with that.
Do it then.
What should I do about it? I mean, it's sort of a best practice or something. It's not a recommendation to go off and do something. It's something you should do every time you build a model.
And how many people do?
Well, raise that's not
hand?
The point. It's just not a... If you want to have guidelines or observations like we had... In track four, we had use the 80-20 rule, try and do this. Those are recommended practices, perhaps. But and then the one that things like the call for patterns, ontology patterns, that seems to have disappeared. I thought that was a number of the speakers recommended that. I missed it. Okay. So maybe I'll just stick with my first comment then about the, a lot of these are just observations and not really.
Well, the issue with that fine level detail, I think models should have explicit semantics is a recommendation, but it's just a very high level one that's hard to act on. To go deeper than that, we suddenly explode. I mean, throughout the summit, not many people provided any concrete recommendations to this effect. This was the best effort that we had to distill what was maybe consensus across all the different presentations. Like, very few people actually explicitly addressed any of these issues that you guys are bringing up right now.
Steve, if we were to take that particular one about the explicit semantics and say, by using common logic, OWL, RDF, would that make it better?
No.
Okay. As Ali just said, right, if you try and extend it further, then you have a whole new thesis going there.
Okay, so the current queue is Corey, Pavithra, Ravi, Doug, and Ram. Gary. Corey.
Corey Pavithra.
Yes. Corey Castanet, first bullet under ontology tools. I suggest it be extended Gary. to be improved and better integrated with other modeling, with tools for other modeling paradigms.
Could we list that as two separate ones, or do you want to put together?
Editor's choice.
Okay. I did not catch that.
Oh, he wants, in addition to having better tools for ontology development, he wants those tools to be integrated with existing tools? Or
With tools for other modeling paradigms.
Okay, the paradigm issue is the point, yeah. Okay.
He had a question about the audience for these recommendations. I think it's listed there. It's for people who model the engineers, people who develop ontology tools and infrastructure, and for development practices. I mean, it's the heading, subheadings are there. It's for those people who are in those category. He had a question about,
right,
the audience.
There's a large range of stakeholders in addition to this. This is your particular interpretation has to do with mostly focusing on engineers. And I think Hans was sort of coming from the business side. You know, if I'm going to invest $10 million on building something, do I really want to read this? Does it make any sense to me? So we're trying to address a large range of stakeholders. That's why we called it big stuff. And I can understand Hans's point of view. From your point of view, that's effectively how we wrote it or how we developed it. But, you know,
is that right? I mean.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know a way to make it more interesting to the people with money or whoever else is out there for which they should read this and acknowledge it and understand the value. Don't have a solution for that one. We're open to suggestions, though.
Ravi?
Physical systems and processes have their own modeling paradigm. And we have today understood how ontology models can help us do integration in otherwise systems that are being modeled. And I don't mean only IT. When you make a car, you do modeling, design, development, etc., whole life cycle. Those models, how they can benefit from ontology analysis at the life cycle stages. That's one type of models. The second type of models that have been discussed are the patterns, ontology patterns. They are in notation and models by themselves. They can be used to validate these models that were just now described, relating to products, business processes, results of business. This distinction has to come in engineering practices and modeling. And the third is a deficiency in this document where we don't address process-related ontology models at all, workflow processes, things of that sort. So that's the end of my comment. Somebody needs to wordsmith this.
Well, first,
if it is desirable to wordsmith.
I don't think we're trying to diminish any particular area in which modeling can be applied.
But this is too generic the way it reads.
So again, this is the summary. I think you made further points down in the Like, you, this is what you just said, right?
Yes.
Okay. I read that, and I had no idea what to do with it.
Yeah, this is one we have to get to and
yeah.
have a long discussion about it. But back to your point, Robbie. The issue about physical models, I was talking to Mary Brady after her talk, and there is an outstanding problem as to how you connect some of the current languages that are used for ontologies with mathematical models. And there's just, they're not there yet. There's no good connection. I believe, and anyone can argue with me later, but not now, that if you write down a mathematical equation to represent some physical process, even if it's Newton's, you know, first law, second law, whatever, that has some ontological commitment into it, in addition to semantic issues. But those are not connected to any ontologies that we currently use. Or at least I'm not aware of any such work. And there's a gap there. But if you are going to model a physical process, you have some conceptual framework that you're using. And what we're here suggesting, this recommendation could be, well, look at UFO, look at Dolce, look at BFO to understand what you should be putting, what those variables in your mathematical or physical model should represent. So we're not trying to, missing an adjective here.
I'm developing a drug, and I will use whatever tools, ontological or otherwise,
yes.
to model the behavior or effect of that drug. Use clinical data, use test data, use bioinformatics, genome, whatever it takes. So these are realities which are not being addressed by just using formal modeling, restricting ourselves to formal modeling. So what if the current models don't integrate formally in a notation? They do produce a good car. Boeing has been producing planes that last 50 years, etc.
Oh, well, okay. Here's what I get confused about with your comments, I guess, is the term employ. However you want to use or employ ontological analysis is up to you. You know, whether you want to use it for developing your model of drug interactions or protein interactions, you know, it doesn't mean that you have to develop something in common logic or RDF or OWL. But you're using some of the, in fact, we're saying ontological analysis specifically as opposed to ontologies. So there's certain, you know, paradigms and things that you want to use, methods that you want to use from ontological analysis in developing your model independent of the particular domain and or thing type of model that you want to build, whether it's a process or whether it's something more static. So
makes a little bit sense in what you say, but three layers, at least three, four layers.
Yeah, but I don't think this discriminates against any of those that you're
so
suggesting.
At least we mentioned this product and process modeling, which is relevant to business or product. And ontology can help us there if we define the semantics of the product or process in the beginning. Now, we probably say that, but I can't see it. The second is IT systems execute such businesses today, like enterprise architecture. How can ontology play a role there or in business process models? And third is those patterns that refer to standards and practices and validating using ontological patterns. These are the three points I was making.
I know that all you put in specific sections about physical models, I think you're still in there, you reference quantum models.
Well, if these points, if you feel these points are addressed later on, and particularly said one of Ravi's comments was later on, maybe we could just wait
yes.
until we get there, and then
yes.
Ravi, you can kind of see whether that point's
yes.
been captured.
Yes, that'd be fine.
Okay, so in the meantime, we have Doug, Rom, and Gary.
I'm finding that a lot of people's comments are for expanding this summary, and I think the summary statements are correctly short, and what people are talking about, a lot of it appears later. Some of the expansions was who it should be directed to, which went. Well, I think it is implicit, as Pavritha had said. But again, that the recommendation summary should have short things, and then down we have the details. I think we address these issues, and I think a lot of the things people have said actually are addressed later. And I think we should make those comments down when we're looking in the details of the various aspects instead of the summary themselves.
That makes a lot of sense.
as you know, as one thing here saying, and the engineering practice, well, we have several things mentioned, well, systems engineering, and we're saying, oh, what about some other type of engineering? I think it just by naming one or two different types of engineering doesn't mean we're excluding the others. I think you should find that down in the detailed section. I think that's where our comments should be, not up here. Unless you find a big gap or you disagree with one of these, I think we should just leave this the summary alone and go down to the specifics.
Would it make more sense to actually have this summary after that big section of material? Or
if people aren't going to read much.
I think it's a good intro.
So then maybe it's just some text to indicate explicitly that it is an intro to whose points get expanded later, perhaps, might address some of those concerns.
Just make that first sentence, make that clearer there. And then.
Yeah, after the summary, they get expanded.
Yeah, that's good.
Actually, two comments. One is, based on what Steve said about action items, Steve, the issue there is that it doesn't say action item on the top there. That's the main thing. What are these things, statements which are being made? Modeling should employ ontological analysis. Whose recommendation is that? Okay, so it's a statement that is based on the summarizing the talks or whatever it is you have done through the whole thing. So I think the title there needs to be wordsmithed a little bit in terms of what it is that you're trying to convey, the semantics of conveying this thing to the rest of the world. Because whose recommendations are this, and what action items? So if you're talking about, the problem here is that sometimes you have action items, sometimes you have something else. An action item would be, like for example, systems engineering should include ontological analysis as part of its standard practice, I guess, okay? So that's what you mentioned. That's an action item. But then modeling should employ ontological analysis. To whom is this addressed to? To the whole world, or what is this? I mean, every modeling should have some kind of things. So that's the one comment. The second comment, in the interest of time, is based on Ravi's thing, is one of the problems is that it's not very clear, even after this whole thing. What we need is a good example of where the traditional analysis has failed and ontological analysis has proved to be successful. We had to put a right pointer to something like that, so that's what I'm saying. That's the comments. Pardon?
I think fail and success is a bit too extreme, but improved.
Analysis has improved the process, so that's what I'm saying. Like, for example, you mentioned Boeing. They're flying planes for God knows how many years, and they will be doing it. And, hey, it runs. Like, what is it, if you're using your ontologies and things like that, how is it going to help you improve your efficiency or whatever it's going to do? And that, if there is someone has done that work, we need to have a pointer there.
Isn't there that famous example?
So I think Hansen had an example, right, that was derived from Matthew. So in other words, you're applying identity criteria. You're doing analysis including parts and components. Because you need that for an efficient system. So it's part of systems engineering for some good system. I can't say that that's been engineered, but that shows you that ontological analysis will really help you. But, you know, that's not like an existing system. It's an example, that the systems engineers have come up with.
If I may, on that, Leo, remember the spectrum that you guys talk about? Yeah, I know Michael, I know Leo, I know some other people. There's a nice spectrum, a spectra, different. So there you claim that there's this notion of ontologies at a wide range of one end of the spectrum to another of the spectrum. So in systems and engineering, you use certain parts of that spectrum very well, where other parts of the spectrum are not used very well. So the thing would be to show that if you move from this part of the spectrum to that part of the spectrum, you indeed result in the significant advantages. And what I'm looking for is a pointer to such.
Yeah, so actually that is more about the expressivity of the model that you use. You could have two complex models, one of which is using ontological analysis and one which isn't. What we're trying to suggest here is that one using ontological analysis is better. But I don't know if you have an Henson, if you had an existing, this model that was developed by Matthew West had an example of that, but I don't know if it was actually built into a system.
Well, my understanding is that was a real example from, you know, the petroleum industry, and I can say that I know a lot of examples of the same kind. I'll give you a couple of examples. I can't give you literature, but for example, I was talking to an engineer who is in charge of very large semiconductor components. And he says, you know, that costs millions and millions of dollars. And so he says, well, when we go in to look at this thing and it doesn't work, the first thing we have to do is to figure out what they've done to it since they bought it from us, you know, what modifications that they had made to it, and so on. And he said to me, this is almost 20 years ago, and we need information systems where we can have what we delivered to them, and we can annotate it with what went wrong with it, what they've added to it, and all those kinds of things. Well, that's an example. I mean, that's a similar example of the kind of ontological analysis. And I know lots of other things like that, where getting the concepts right will have a lot to do with, in this case, reducing maintenance cost on, fielded systems, things like that. Now, it's a little bit hard to find literature on this.
Gary, yeah. Reese has a comment, and then Ali, and then we're going to cut for a half-hour break. We'll come back and can resume discussion at that point.
So I had an observation and a question. The observation is that I looked at some of the phrases that stood out to me on some of these things, like the recommendation summaries, like foundational ontologies and design patterns, and they, to me, I did a search, they don't appear in the sections that you have. They appear in ontology tools and infrastructure. So you may want to check that the points you're making there are going to be so easy to track for a reader for later explanation if they don't know these terms. So that's one thing. I didn't check more than that, but I did find those since they stood out. I was wondering where they were covered. The other question or idea is that this morning I think we talked a little bit about the idea of prominence and the idea of maintaining some of these models over long, the ontological models over the importance of this. I don't think that's listed under engineering practice, and that would be a suggestion to put something in on that as a recommendation.
Provenance of?
Well, who presented on that? I think there was some discussion on that. They would probably be better able to articulate what should be said there.
Yeah, that was Amanda and Mike, I think.
Yeah, I think the issue had to do with being able to distinguish or identify ontologies that are good for what you need, and you have to have sufficient provenance information.
But the point would be, I thought, is that they should be maintained over time. The engineering practice is to maintain those things, make sure that they are applicable, like Hansen was talking about. What does this stuff mean, right? So to do that, you have to have the meta models to explain it.
Well, not just what does it mean, who said it? Who told you that? I remember I had a question years ago, so one of the models up on the screen. Somebody pointed to one of those things and said, who told you to put that in? I had no way to answer that question.
Okay.
I had an observation. Seems like we're building on what we have discussed in the past. And there's an assumption that everybody understands what ontological analysis is or defined conceptualization. Do we all agree on what that means? Do we have that defined somewhere? And are we just using that? That may be causing some of us understand what they are. However, what is a defined conceptualization in this context? You know, we are using kind of words that need specific or relevant definition. Do we, in the past, we can kind of understand what they are or what they may be, but in this context, do we know what it is? Do we have a vocabulary or definitions for that?
This is Gary Bergkross again. This is the type of thing that jumped out at me again when I asked about references, because so maybe you can use a link to explain that or jump somewhere to help a reader who's not so sophisticated understand what you mean there by that.
We'll put Nicola's phone number under ontological analysis. Okay, the comment about defined conceptualization, you think, is accurate. We'll try and address it. The issue of what ontological analysis is, we're not going to get near. And I don't know that there's a good reference that we can point to. You know, go to the Stanford pages on philosophy. I don't know.
Yeah, so we'll just have, we're going to have a break, 3:15 to 3:45. We come back at 3:45 until 5:30. So we still have plenty of time for discussion. So everyone has their hands up now. Remember, yeah, we'll catch the cue. And Ali had just one closing comment, and then we'll break, say, half an hour for caffeine.
Oh, this might not be a closing comment.
Oh, okay. So okay, Ali will be the first comment after the break. So then we'll take a break now, and we'll resume at 3:45.
Do you know what the cue is?
There'll be a new cue.
No cue? Who Rahm suggested that, but he's not here. He left.
Todd, I didn't get to comment. They didn't answer my hand raised. But I put a note on the chat about this thing.
Do you want to?
No, he's running away.
I'm just going to add him to the queue because I have no idea what. Okay. We want to resolve some of these right now? Okay, that's what you're saying.
Well, the feeling seems to be that it's kind of a heterogeneous mix, that they're not all just recommendations. Some are recommendations, some are observations, some are best practices. So I think his general comment was perhaps to cluster. Either come up with a generic word.
I'd rather than generic.
Have a generic word. And
recommendations,
something like that. Is there a word for that? To some extent, it's not quite fair to you guys because you're synthesizing, you're not creating, and people should have made these suggestions.
I mean, track four was the closest. They actually gave us recommendations and observations. No one else.
Yeah, I would just say, part of the problem is there's a lack of symmetry and consistency across all these things.
What's
like having a simple rule that says everyone would identify
Speaking strictly as an editor, I mean, the issue is
to
come up with some senses
really
for what
you really should
have been
that much stuff in the beginning, because if you go through it all again I would say two bullets for each one.
So it's come up with a word. Rewards come up.
But
it's come up with a word.
That
kind of accurately captures what
combines
with
a single
point. We don't need to get into
that. That guy you should combine. And you don't have to use those many words.
If I'm not back by 3:45, you start without me.
Yeah, right. Okay.
Okay.
meta-reference.